I will call to order the meeting of the Sussex County Council, November 10th meeting, with the approval of the agenda. Mr. Baker, do you have any changes?
Yes, I do have one suggested change, and that would be just a change in the order to move administrator's report, to make that the first item under myself.
Okay. Are there any other changes from council? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the amended agenda.
Got it.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the amended agenda. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Approval of the minutes in your packet were the November 3rd minutes of the county council meeting. Are there any changes? If not, I'll consider the minutes approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
There is no correspondence, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Mr. Baker.
I have some correspondence.
Just a minute. Ms. Deaver.
Oh, I was, if you were still on correspondence, I do have some.
I will retract back to correspondence. Yes.
Thank you very much. I've been asked to read this, and it was sent to all the council people. It is from the Friends of the South Coastal Library, and it begins, in August, during a county council meeting, a report on library funding was given. During that discussion, a suggestion was made by some council members that the South Coastal Library should become an independent library rather than continuing as a county library. The library would be turned over to the Friends of the South Coastal Library for management operations. The Friends first learned of this through an article that appeared in the local newspaper. The Friends Board of Directors met on October 27th to discuss and suggest the suggestion, and the board feels that it's essential that Sussex County continue to fund and support South Coastal as a county library, while the Friends Capital Campaign conducted 2005 through 2009 raised over $2.25 million to help with the construction of the renovated and expanded library. Those donations were restricted for that project only. The Friends and the community it serves cannot possibly be expected to support that level of fundraising on an annual basis. The Friends traditionally raises about $125,000 each year to enhance library services and programs offered through county and state funds. A recent article in the business section of the Washington Post newspaper stated that nonprofit organizations are seeing a dramatic 40 to 50% reduction in donations this year, and anyone involved in fundraising efforts will agree that it's increasingly difficult to raise funding for various causes. The Friends feels that it's essential that Sussex County continue to finance the South Coastal Library as a county library in order to maintain the quality of services offered, the quality and training of the library staff, the cost savings through bulk purchase of supplies, equipment, and services, the consistency of services, the reliability of staff and services, the level of salaries and benefits to attract qualified staff, the hours of operation, the computer services available to the public, the variety of resources utilized by young to seniors, the strength of the collections, the maintenance of the building and grounds of the new facility. Our library staff could bombard you with program and user statistics that demonstrate the growing usage of the South Coastal Library over the past few years, and would be happy to do so if you wish. Just a few examples. This summer, we had 292 children and 48 teens join the summer reading program. The adult computer classes and genealogy computer classes fill as quickly as we post them. Our patron visits continue to climb even during the off-season. The Joshua M. Freeman Cultural Center is booked nearly every day and evening with community programs and meetings. We look at this library as an excellent community resource to the area. The Friends works hard each year to provide additional funding to enhance programs and services provided by Sussex County. However, we are certainly not in a position, nor do we wish to be, to take over the management and operation of this library. The Friends strongly urges the County Council to continue to finance and support the library as a county library. Respectfully, Board of Directors, Faith Denault, President of the Board of Directors.
Thank you. Any other correspondence? If not, we'll move to Mr. Baker.
The first item is the administrator's report, and I will hand out a copy. And the first item is Veterans Day holiday. In honor of Veterans Day, Sussex County offices will be closed tomorrow, November 11th. We wish to thank our veterans for their personal sacrifice that has ensured our freedoms. Today is also the 234th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. And some of our county employees and pensioners who are veterans have volunteered to be here today to be recognized. Others were unable to come due to work responsibilities. But we would like to recognize these employees for their personal sacrifice, these veterans, their commitment to our country, and their many efforts to protect us and preserve our freedoms. And we have a token of our appreciation. And Mr. Phillips has, maybe if you could come up, and Chip God would like to take a picture of you also. We have certificates and tokens of our appreciation for the veterans that are county employees and county pensioners. Maybe if you'd like, you could introduce yourself.
Are these all Marines?
Do it to me.
In the Guards, yeah. That's correct. That's correct. That's all right.
I want to see your card. I'm going to see your card.
Same thing.
So cute.
Yeah.
So many paramedics.
And Sheriff, all Sheriff's Department.
Yeah, once you start doing it, once you work together and get in the middle there.
It's amazing. It's,
yeah.
Really?
As for husbands, they are. Well, I can see that. I think they are.
We actually have everyone
probably
come
have
forward
a certain
and congregate right here
code
because
to
there's too many
or something
people spread out
in their backbone. Yeah. Not everybody's cut out for the service, but there's that.
Up here.
Oh, Mike.
Go ahead.
Sure, it counts.
So does Mike.
Come on. Yes.
Get out there.
He had what you needed at 18.
Get Sam in the front. Get Sam in the front. I don't need my picture. I can take another.
Frank is that way. I won after all.
Sam served also? Did Sam serve?
Do you work service?
My husband did.
I get my picture taken, but it's all right. Get Ricky Short in the back.
That way. A branch.
Maybe you can't see.
Jimmy, Eric, you guys can go to the back.
Just like school, I got to get somebody. If you're not in a uniform, that's why she's too sweet on the back.
There's a one.
I think he suggested we have a secret romance because of this uniform.
Keep going.
Is that right, Robin? Well, now. We've learned something.
Sarah.
Didn't you ever go to the roller rink, Mike?
Yes, I did. Many a time.
Tom Glenn. One ship, they shot the with the wind. Yeah.
Oh, there's Lynn talking already.
Yeah. Oh, he's back again.
To give them an applause. They're all up here.
I think they should.
Yeah. When they're done.
You are something, I tell you that. You are just something.
Thank you.
Hey, Mike, you know what our motto was?
I still got my uniform in the attic.
You wasn't able to.
Was it from the Civil War?
You wasn't ready. So what
about there you are. There you are.
Fort Knox.
You've been into it? Fort Knox.
I can tell you, I
Garden of Gold, baby.
I can assure you one thing, mine will still fit, I guarantee you.
Mine doesn't.
That'd be 80 pounds ago.
There we go.
Oh.
Mr. Baker, please continue.
Sure. The next item is Recorder Deeds Online Program revenues.
It was Indian Town, yeah.
The Recorder Deeds Online Access Program went into effect September 2nd. During the month of September, the county received $1,133 in revenue for the new program, with 2,831 pages of Recorder Deeds documents being viewed during the month online. In addition, the revenue to the revenue for providing this service, we expect savings in terms of the use of office space by title searchers in the Recorder Deeds office. Community Development and Housing public hearings. The Community Development and Housing Division offers the county's assistance to apply for housing rehabilitation grant funds for Sussex County towns. Attached is a copy of the schedule showing the public hearing and meeting dates for each town that is participating. Substantial completion: Millville Sanitary Sewer Project, Pump Station MPS Number 3, received substantial completion June 6th. Developers Bay Forest LLC. Again, it's in the Millville expansion, the Bethany Beach Sewer District, consisting of off-site sewer improvements to serve the Bay Forest and Bethany Bay communities. City of Rehoboth Wastewater Options public hearing, November 7th. The City of Rehoboth held a public hearing at the Rehoboth Fire Department, November 7th. Mr. Michael Wizzo and myself attended that meeting. Public comments were heard regarding wastewater treatment options. The City Commission indicated that they expect to make a decision next month regarding which wastewater option to pursue prior to January 1st. Okay. And the next item on the agenda is holiday schedule. On October 27th, the County Council approved a schedule for the County Council for 2010. By mistake, we did not include Election Day, November 2nd, 2010, for the day not to meet for Sussex County Council. It was included as a holiday for employees, but it was just by mistake not included on the list of days for the council not to meet. So if there aren't any objection, I have a proposed motion.
So you mean Robin didn't miss this for the employees' holiday, but it was for ours.
Doesn't miss much.
We'll listen to your motion, Mr. Baker.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council add Election Day, November 2nd, 2010, to the list of days that the County Council will not meet.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and second to include the Election Day as part of our amended meeting schedule for the County Council vacation days. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote.
Yes.
Ms. Deaver?
Oh, so, yes.
Mr. Vincent?
No.
Do you like to elaborate?
No. You're not running?
Mr. Wilson.
Is that including return?
Oh, that's just that.
Yeah. No, that's not for the employees. It's just for the council, right?
Yes, for that. Yeah.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson votes yes. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I'll join my colleague from Seaford voting no. Must be a good reason back there somewhere.
We need to keep working.
But the motion carries. We have off Election Day 2010.
I think any day that the government doesn't meet is a good day.
You got that quote in the Gazette, I think.
Is that why you work in the government?
Make that motion.
Because we can't do much damage if we don't meet.
Mr. Baker.
The next item is discussion and possible introduction of an ordinance regarding dog control. Last week, we discussed a draft of a proposed ordinance regarding fees for dog control. After last week's discussion, this proposed ordinance has been revised to allow individual dog licenses to be issued for 1, 2, or 3 years. Mr. Vanderslice, who is here today, has researched whether or not the county can issue dog licenses for a year, not based on a calendar year, but based on the month that the license is taken out, similar to motor vehicle. And he found that currently the state code requires that individual dog license be issued by calendar year. And possibly that could be looked at as a change for the legislative session. Kennel and retail dog outlet licenses would continue to be issued for a one-year period, a calendar year period, as is currently the practice with the state. In terms of the proposed ordinance, the fees are that are in the proposed ordinance are listed on the very last page, and as you can see, the most important fees there are for individual dog license, which are proposed at $10 for spayed and neutered dogs, and run older dogs $15 versus the current rates of $3 and $6, which have been in effect for many years. These fees, as proposed, would raise about $68,000 a year in Sussex County versus the $23,000 that is currently raised with the $3 and $6 fees, and the other fees are listed there also. This assumes the same number of dogs that would register. We do anticipate increasing the number of dogs that will register, and no change in the proposed county fees. The cost of the program, and we just opened bids today. We have not analyzed those bids, but the low bid was about $738,000. So for services for a year, we were currently spending about $600,000. So
that's high.
For your information. So we've got to analyze those, and that'll be back. We'll bring that back to the council probably December 1st. After introduction of an ordinance, the proposed fees could be decreased by the county council prior to passage, but could not be increased by the council without a separate public hearing. So certainly the council could change the fees before introduction of an ordinance also.
We asked our information technology department to post that draft ordinance on the website, and I actually got a call from a kennel owner who had apparently seen one of the original copies, maybe handed down by the state a year or so ago for review, and they were very impressed with what our county folks had done to restructure it so that it was more understandable, more reasonable in its approach. So it was comforting to hear. Mr. Colt?
I just got one question. Now we start this, county takes over. January 1st. We're in the business. So people out there who have been following the dog control issue and stuff, I know the state's now phasing out of licensing and the county is going to be starting up. When can people start, or should they start coming to the county for licensing? Can they be preemptive and come before the first of the year, or will we have to start at the first year?
Mr. Parker and Mr. Holloway are also here. And
anybody
this,
that maybe anybody who doesn't have a dog license presently, is there a grace period now till we take over maybe or something? I don't know. Because I'm sure the state's not going to be issuing any dog licenses.
Well, my understanding is they continue to issue dog licenses. And we thought that we could begin the process of issuing licenses after the council approves an ordinance of approving the fees. We have ordered the dog tags, and I think we should be ready. And we have also, Debbie Morris in our information systems department has been working on providing a link on the on our website, so you can actually or will be able to pay, register via our website. So
our public hearing will be when now? Do we have a date?
If the ordinance is introduced December 1st.
Okay. I'll introduce it.
Is there any other discussion?
The state, you say, is continue issuing tags at this time or license?
Yes, that is my understanding, that the state of Delaware continues to issue tags.
It's the only thing I brought that up.
Well, they're going to get the money from this.
Right, but I'm just saying, Sam, I brought up because people were reading this, and again, there'll be confusion out there, and people say, well, it's the county and it's the state, and some people may just say, well, we don't have to, you know, let's not do it till the county takes over or something like that. So there could be some people caught up in failure to license a dog just because of, you know, going from the county to the state or the state to the county. So anyway, that's the only reason I was concerned about it.
I mean, their license will expire on 31st December, right? If you bought one today, it expires December 31st.
unless you buy one that's multiple year.
Yeah.
They won't let you, Mike, buy one for next year.
Right.
That's the thing. So no, if somebody has a dog right now, you can't get a dog license probably for...
I'm not sure that that's the case.
10. But.
From the state, you're saying?
From the state. I'll bet you 10 to 1. That's the... Anybody know?
I bet they'll not turn down a dollar if they can get it.
Is the state issuing multiple year licenses now? Do you know? Yeah.
For next year. They're listed...
Only multiple year.
Yeah, this year, multiple years, they, you, that's our understanding.
Okay. Not just 210.
I just didn't want people to get caught in a transition period.
They have agreed to provide us with a list of everybody who has a multiple year license, so we have to honor that. You know,
for, and they're going to send the money to us, right?
I'll prorate it, though.
Yeah.
Huh?
I don't think so. Actually, they are. That's right. That
they
is correct.
They are
going to send us
for,
their fee
office.
For the, yeah, that's right. You're right.
I would think so.
For the multiple year license.
Okay, the ordinance has been introduced. It'll be scheduled for a public hearing where at that time the council can, after hearing public comment, make adjustments to the ordinance per our code. Anything else, Mr. Baker?
No, not on that topic. I do have the next item is a discussion and possible introduction of a proposed ordinance. It's really discussion because we do not have a proposed ordinance at this time relating to historic preservation. And I know there was information in your packet about this, but we since then we put together just a little summary. Hand out a one-page summary, and we have some extra copies here for the press. On July 28th, the County Council discussed a proposal as prepared by URDC, our land use consultants, and that proposal was posted on our website as was requested by the County Council. An historic preservation ordinance is recommended by our land use plan. Mr. Parsons, our historic planner, is sick today and is unable to be here, although he did assure me he'll be watching on the internet. But we would like to highlight some of the main points regarding this proposal. Again, we have not drafted an ordinance, but we wanted the council to take a look at this to see, to try to incorporate thoughts you may have prior to drafting an ordinance. Basically, this would require a waiting period of anywhere from 14 to 45 days prior to demolition of an historic structure. We would begin to require a demolition permit for destruction of non-agricultural buildings that are greater than 800 square feet and 80 years or older. And these permits would be issued at our permit counter. A proposed demolition permit fee, again, this is could be changed, is $100 to cover cost. The purpose of the ordinance would require a waiting period, again, up to 45 days before a historic building is destroyed. And basically, we envision two different options on how this would work. First, for many buildings that would apply that are deemed not of historic significance by the historic planner, that may involve some documentation such as pictures or measurements to be done by the historic planner, but we would shorten up the process and issue a demolition permit within 14 days of the application. And Mr. Parsons and I know Mr. Moore and Mr. Lank and I met with him earlier or last week, and he felt that many of the buildings, and I believe he said most of the buildings, he felt would fall in that category. There are some that certainly would be deemed to be of historic significance, whereby we would have a separate process where we would advertise for 14 days or within 14 days, post on the county website, post on the property, and then again, the historic planner would document with pictures, measurements, and so on. And then he would work to attempt to locate potential buyers or parties to move the building or any other alternatives for the building. But either way, after 45 days, a demolition permit would be issued. So there would be no requirement that the building be saved, but it would establish a waiting period of up to 45 days.
So there would be no hearing, per se, on something like this?
We are not recommending a hearing, right. They are recommending that Mr. Lank and the Planning and Zoning, or Mr. Lank, review this, any applications with the Planning and Zoning Commission during that 45-day period.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Wilson, since you're the closest thing to a historic structure on this council, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, it looks like we're going to be able to, we've met our 45 days, look like we can get our two buildings down now.
Well, it's in the city limits.
They're in the town.
Sorry, Sam. We can move them outside of town.
Mr. Benson, have you any thoughts?
Because I'm the next on this. No, I think it's fine.
Mr. Cole?
What if somebody takes down a building? To demo a building, you need a permit, right? From the county right now?
Not right now.
We not right not now. So anybody can go and demo a building right now. The demo guys, what if they go in and demo a property that was in it, like it was 80 years old and didn't go through the ordinance? I didn't see any penalty.
We are, right, that should have been on this summary, but we are suggesting possibly a penalty of twice the fee. So if the fee is $100 and the $200 fine.
Well, obviously $200 isn't going to stop anybody from tearing down a house. I mean, but what we're trying, I mean, I think what we're trying to do is encourage that if there is something of significance, to try to protect it as best we can.
Correct.
When guys want to do something, $200 will not, discourage anybody from just knocking it down, paying it $200 and moving forward. That seems to me unrealistic as a penalty for not preserving something. So it depends on this council's commitment that we think historical preservation means to the county. So
what do you think would be a fair?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what other jurisdiction. I'd love to know what maybe, other places do, and we could look at it and get an idea. I have no idea, David, but I don't think $200 is enough of a discouragement.
Okay,
go ahead, Sam.
George, I have a little problem with this. We're getting into people's private property.
I understand that. I understand that.
And we're saying we don't like you tearing that building down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got it begged now to get a building up. We got to get permits. Now we're going to say you can't take it down. That bothers me a little bit.
Well, it's not a total prohibition, Sam. When I read the ordinance, it says we're only looking to hold them up how much ever. What is
it? It's time.
45 days. That doesn't seem to me to be excessive if it is something worth saving.
But if you read this line right here, George, this line says right here, says number four.
Number four? Let's see. Let me find the page. Right, number four on which page? Just the single sheet. Okay, number four.
I think it's number four.
Yeah.
It's opinion there.
It's what?
The planner's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why we hire the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
He's supposedly our expert in that area.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
It's still opinion.
I'm saying, Sam, that we've adopted a land use plan that says we need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
If we need to do this, and we have a commitment to preserve something historical, and I do think there are things in this county that we should attempt to preserve. I just don't think the $200 is a significant amount to discourage somebody saying, I'm going to pay the $200, knock it down, keep on moving. Okay? So it's a 45 days, and I don't think that's excessive. I think that's actually fairly reasonable to say, is there anybody out there wants to try to protect this? Come on in, step up to the plate, 45 days, give us a window of opportunity. So I think it needs to be higher.
So,
I don't know.
So we go down and look at this building.
Our planner,
the county, our government.
Right.
And they go down and look at this building order and say, well, to our opinion, you can't tear this building down.
For 45 days.
For 45 days, and after that, what?
Do you after that?
Regardless what he says,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
Regardless of what he says.
After 45 days, they can tear it down, Sam.
Regardless of what.
Exactly. Yeah, we're saying that. Yes, Sam. Yes.
Well, I won't make it plain because I know how.
It is plain. That's what it says.
I know how government works.
Well, I'm reading this.
Stick the toe in the door, and then from then on, you're in the house.
Okay. Anyway, if there's a consensus, I just think that I don't think $200, it's not in here. If we write up a. If we put together a.
You're not
ordinance.
You're not planning on tearing down no building lately. I can see that now.
Pardon me?
Never mind.
If we're putting together an ordinance Mr. Baker?
Yes.
And if there's no objections, I think we ought to maybe leave out the penalty area, and if you could bring us some documentation before we introduce it.
Sure.
About what other different jurisdictions look at, how they do it.
Okay.
I don't know. Again, this is the first time we've tried this. I don't think I'm familiar enough with what's appropriate. Like Sam, it's not a total prohibition, but 45 days is, I think, very reasonable to look at something that's deemed to be historical. Now, if you don't think our man is qualified to do it, Sam, then maybe the guy who's watching us on the internet in bed sick.
I didn't have. I'm not personally attacked him because I don't even know who he is. But I do know it's opinion here. And it could be George's opinion. Everybody, opinions can be all kinds of thoughts in these things.
Well, first of all, he would probably, I would guess, have to come in with some documentation.
Yes.
It's historical, not just his opinion. But anyway.
And he can better explain
that. I'm comfortable
that
with it because of the 45 days, I don't think is excessive. So, I just would just like to say, if we introduce the ordinance, Dave, leave that area up for debate.
Okay.
One question I have, is there evidence that there has been widespread destruction of historical properties?
There you go. Good question.
Is this an ordinance that is being created to solve a perceived problem, or do we have evidence that there is really a problem, that there is widespread destruction of historic properties?
I thought this was to go to meet the land use plan that the previous council passed.
Right.
The plan has to be considered. This is true. My question is simply, is there a real problem, or is this a perceived problem that could occur in the future? I'm just trying to understand the logic behind it.
I think the rationale, and I don't know if this is entirely correct, when the land use planners look at a land use plan for a county, this is one of the areas that they put in. You have to have environmental protections, you have historical protections, et cetera. We had none, so what they're saying is this county should have a historical preservation ordinance. We had none. Now we're going to adopt one because we adopted the plan. Once you adopt the plan, it's not like in Washington, D.C., where they put things in or they say they put in things and it gets taken out. I think that when we adopted the plan, whether you voted for it or not, it's now... plan is an ordinance.
It has to be considered.
It's got the force of law.
Mr. Baker or Mr. Lang, with regards to the land use plan, how much flexibility do we have with respect to passing the portions of the land use plan into an ordinance form?
Well, I think Mr. Lang could probably better answer that, but I do know that at least with the last land use plan, there were a number of ordinances that were not approved. That some were reviewed and considered and not approved.
Well, they just got tabled because you had enough votes to not do anything on it.
Certainly, you get into it. When you present an ordinance, you get into a lot more detail than what's in the land use plan.
I think this is one of the least controversial ordinances that we're going to have to look at.
Mr. Knight.
All right.
Well, how much flexibility does the council have with respect to passing an ordinance and considering an ordinance per the land use plan?
I could refer to Everett or Robertson. Typically, it had been that we had to give consideration.
We have to give consideration. Okay.
I don't know that we have. We can't. It doesn't mandate that we have to pass a regulation. We have to consider.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So that's the work.
And we will consider an ordinance, but I asked a simple question. What was, has there been widespread evidence? And right now, I don't see anybody jumping up and saying there was. So that's just something we'll probably talk about during the public hearing or after the public hearing.
Well, first we have to draw one up, right?
Yep.
Now, Mr. Moore, you'll work with, or Vince, who is going to be assigned to work with Mr. Lank?
We have already been working on that and looking at the ordinance.
He's way ahead of you, George.
Okay. So you'll be... as a team? Okay.
It's an opportunity to salvage some buildings and maybe move them, buy them or move them, and create more tourism in the area. So I think it's an opportunity for economic growth.
Have you seen the Illator down that you'd like to move, Joan?
Well, look at Lewis.
My first-hand experience.
Look at Lewis. Look at shipbuilders in Lewis. It's beautiful. People love it. And I would want to work with the historic societies on these buildings as soon as somebody applies. I'd like to be notified.
Well, at this point, it sounds like, Mr. Baker, the only thing that is in question specifically for a proposed ordinance is the fine. So that's something I think Mr. Cole has suggested, you just leave off the ordinance specifically until we hear.
Leave it blank. Basically, have it in the ordinance, but the number or the figure or whatever the penalty is, leave that open. And then when we present the ordinance in written form, you also can present to us what other jurisdictions have done to help preserve their historical, you know, buildings in their counties and stuff.
Okay.
And I do think it's very, it's a good ordinance, and there's nothing wrong with it. And I don't think it's excessive, but very reasonable.
So, Mr. Baker, you'll be bringing to council a proposed ordinance for more discussion and possible introduction.
Yes, we'll work with Mr. Moore and bring that back and bring that information back for the council to consider. Thank you.
Any comments or questions for Mr. Baker? Thank you, Mr. Baker. Ms. Webb.
I have two possible introduction of ordinances also. Mine are related to debt, and they're for the issuance of bonds for a couple of our sewer districts that are receiving stimulus funding. So we need to close these with the state of Delaware as we're under a deadline with our stimulus funding. The first one's a Woodlands of Millsboro for $730,000 of general obligation bonds for the Woodlands of Millsboro Sanitary Sewer District. The sewer district will serve 57 EDUs. The purpose of these bonds will be to finance a portion of the cost of the construction of this project. This project will be financed with a mix of USDA grant and loan and state grant. The USDA and state portion are from the federal stimulus package. The bonds are backed by the county's full faith and credit, and it's expected that the debt service will be paid from revenues of the Woodlands District. The term of the bond is not to exceed 40 years, interest rate at 2.625, and it's anticipated that the bonds will be sold to USDA and state SRF agencies, and this is within the legal debt limit of the county. With this bond on the SRF side, it will all be a principal forgiveness if we meet the criteria of the bond to begin with. So we set up a bond with the debt, and if we satisfy all the requirements, which we expect to do throughout the project, then it all becomes principal forgiveness 100% in this case. So I just need an introduction today.
Wait, let me just ask you a quick question. We keep mentioning that it's stimulus money is going to be doing this stuff.
Stimulus money that has been funneling through.
Should there be any reference in this that, like, if we don't get this, if for some reason something happens to that
stimulus in the ordinance.
Money, in this, should there be any reference that this is contingent on us getting some stimulus money?
Well, we have a legal sewer district at this point. I don't know, Everett, if that is a point in the ordinance.
Lack of stimulus money have a impact on this, what we're doing here, introducing it?
The project.
The rate.
Finance people.
The projects were actually
committed
prior to the referendums were approved prior mm-hmm. to the stimulus money being awarded. So either way, we will need to borrow money to fund the project.
Okay, so. And we were covered with the rate to the beginning. So yes, meaning that the public would have been aware of the rates pre-stimulus, the highest point. This is just making it, the stimulus is just making it better and better and better.
Just about how many days.
Somebody stimulated my sewer district.
That's their.
But that is an interesting question, but I still think we'd completely.
Just a thought. I didn't know because we're putting a lot of emphasis on stimulus package.
Yeah. We're taking advantage of it.
Would anyone like to introduce you? Thank you, Mr. Vincent.
Thank you. The second is the Oak Orchard expansion, number one, $9.8 million. This is a larger project, of course. This is to fund the construction and equipment of the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District expansion, number one, and this would be for 855 existing EDUs. The purpose of these bonds is to finance a portion of the cost of the construction of the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District expansion. It will be financed with a mix of USDA grant and loans, county grant, and state grant and loan. The USDA and state portion are from the federal stimulus package. The bonds are backed by the county's full faith and credit, and it's expected that the debt service will be paid from the revenues of the Oak Orchard Sewer District. The term of the bonds is not to exceed 40 years. It's anticipated that the bonds will be sold to USDA and state SRF agencies, and this is also within the legal debt limit of the county. The principal forgiveness portion for your information on the stimulus for the state is $3 million. Mm-hmm. But this is the total financing that I would need to do up front between the two agencies.
Okay. Would someone be interested in introducing that?
I would introduce that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have a question. You say existing EDUs. We're talking about homes that exist now.
In the expansion area.
In the expansion area. Mm-hmm. So we're probably we're replacing septics with sewer. Okay, but
Central
we don't
sewer.
Build particularly in advance of somebody being in need of. Yeah, mm-hmm. We just build to the needs, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
general.
But mm-hmm. I think if we think an area that's going to be served in the future, we would...
Mm-hmm. If we know. That
right.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next agenda item is Ms. Jennings, Director of Accounting.